So a couple of days before Johnny phoned me to ask if I could speak, I was driving in the car and a random verse dropped into my spirit. It was this: a cheerful heart or laughter is good medicine to the soul, and is found in Proverbs 17:22. I returned home to tell Simon about it, and I was so excited. And I said, you know, I've never heard a sermon about laughter. I don't know if you have, but Simon said he hadn't heard one. So it got me thinking, got me really excited. I was looking at it, researching about it, and I was so amazed that the Bible's got so much to say about laughter. Did you know there's so many examples of laughter? There's different types of laughter. I'm not talking about our laughter sounds, because we've all got our own funny sounds that we make. But I'm talking about different types of laughter. But more on that in a moment. So when Johnny rang, Simon and myself were actually watching a film. And honestly, this was a scene that came up right after Johnny finished speaking to me. For me, it was like confirmation about sharing with you on this subject today. And I also had this word confirmed even in my workplace, where an old lady gave me a book about laughter with old people. But this is what we're going to watch. This was the clip that came on after Johnny spoke to me. Let's cue that in. Cue that in, that sounds funny.
Don, the world is so full of a number of things. I'm sure we should all be as happy as.
But are we?
No.
Definitely no. Positively no. Decidedly no.
Short people have long faces. And long people have short faces. Big people have little humor, and little people have no humor at all.
And in the words of that immortal bard, Samuel J. Snodgrass, as he was about to be led to the guillotine, make them laugh, make them laugh. Don't you know everyone wants to laugh? My dad said, be an actor, my son. But be a comical one, they'll be standing in lines for those old honky-tonk monkey shines. Now you could study Shakespeare and be quite elite, and you could charm the critics and have nothing to eat. Just slip on a banana peel, the world's at your feet. Make them laugh, make them laugh, make them laugh. Make them laugh. Don't you know everyone wants to laugh? My grandpa said, go out and tell them a joke, but give it plenty of hope. Make them roar, make them scream. Take a fall, but a wall, split a seam. You start off by pretending you're a dancer with grace. You wiggle till they're giggling all over the place. And then you get a great big custard pie in the face. Make them laugh, make them laugh, make them laugh. Make them laugh, don't you? All the... My dad. They'll be standing in lines for those old honky-tonk monkey shines.
Make them laugh.
I know I can't see your faces, but I hope that brought a bit of a cheer to you, to your faces. So that is, so that's my topic tonight, make them laugh. But not me, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to come and bring laughter to you and joy. So what is the definition of laughter? So I found one definition. It says, to express certain emotions, especially mirth or delight, by a series of spontaneous, usually unarticulated, unarticulated, is that the word? See, I'm making you laugh, aren't I? Unarticulated sounds, often accompanied by corresponding facial and bodily movements. Even that definition makes me laugh. So the clip that we just watched was actually performed in one take, and it was brilliant. It's from the film, the musical, Singing in the Rain. It's so clever and funny, but some people might not have laughed at it, or some of you might not have found it funny, as we're all different, and things that make us laugh, is different for us all. For example, for Simon, we'll laugh at something, but sometimes I don't always see the funny side, and vice versa. But we do find things in which we laugh together. We've tried to keep laughter central to the culture of our home. In fact, when it's tea time in our home and we're all around the table, laughter is often heard amongst us. On one occasion recently, we played a game called Moo Off. It's brilliant to play. It's played with two players, and the aim of the game is to moo at the other person with a straight face, and they would have to moo back. The loser is the first person to laugh. Well, we were all laughing so much that Dan's chair broke, and he landed on the floor to another uproar of laughter. It was real, barely laughing. Just love it. And try that game at home with your families, because it's so fun. And it really does create laughter. And I'll teach you it if you need to. So tonight, my word is about laughter. I'm praying tonight that we're going to receive some holy laughter. It is a gift to us from God. This February just gone, we were at Foyle de Brennan with the women's group. And we sat on a very stormy night in the chapel. Four of us had gone for the night prayers, and we started to follow the readings and worship when the Spirit came upon us in such a powerful way that we had a continuous joy and an outpouring of laughter for over an hour. It was just amazing. And we've seen this before for all you young people that have been at Soul Survivor. Mike Pelavacci would say it's an expression of joy and healing as the Spirit of God moved through the thousands of young people. Laughter would break out across the whole tent. Why? Because the joy and freedom of God's amazing love and had descended into their hearts of these young people. And he can do it again. He can do it again. He can bring freedom, and he can bring hope, and he can bring laughter and joy to us tonight. Laughter is an evidence of the fruit of joy. In Job 8:21, it says, he will fill your mouth with laughter and your lips with shouts of joy. Laughter is good medicine to our souls. It can bring healing to us. It has power to change the atmosphere. It's a tension diffuser. And for example, when correcting Eli when he was little on his behavior, I would have a serious face to show the seriousness of what he'd done. Eli would stand there looking at me, in my face, but he would be making all sorts of funny shapes with his eyebrows. It'd be, like that, kind of looking at me with, winking, And honestly, as I could hardly look at him, I had to kind of turn away a couple of times, and I had to leave the room on another couple of times because he just broke the tension. He definitely knew how to diffuse the tension. But he brought laughter instead of that tension. And I want to say that laughter is an antidote to anxiety. It's free. You don't need a prescription. This has been proven in science and in medical research. And it's here in the Bible. And if we believe the Bible, then it says that laughter is good medicine to the soul. This is God's word. It's the truth. That said, I don't want to be insensitive to what people might be experiencing, though, especially over these past few weeks and months. I recognize it's been hard for many of us. We're all in different seasons of life, and that's okay. A few months back, Simon preached on the children of Israel being taken into exile, and sometimes it's okay to not be okay. In Ecclesiastes 3, 4, verse 4, it says, "There is a time to weep, and a time to laugh, and a time to mourn, and a time to dance." Excuse me a minute, doing too much talking, I think. The thing to remember about time is that it is constantly moving, and so is constantly changing. Time moves us forward, and the seasons change. It might seem out of place to talk about laughter and humor today when we know what is around us. But it's possible for us to find joy in all situations. And healthy laughter is a wonderful and amazing gift from God. It can help us cope with stress, sadness, and the griefs of everyday life. Have you ever felt angry? Frightened? Depressed? And then someone makes you laugh. Even though you were upset, the laughter made your heart feel better. Laughter is good medicine for your soul. I want to say to every believer, there is given the fruit of the Spirit, which includes an inexplicable joy from God. This joy isn't only expressed in times of happiness and accomplishments, but also in deep disappointments and hurt from others. Even in the midst of persecution and loss, there can be joy expressed in the form of laughter, not because of the pain, but because of the promises, expressions, and encouragement fed to the spirit of man through the grace of the Holy Spirit. Life is hard. And many times it's compounded by the sadness within us and all around us. While we should not deny our pain and frustration, we have within us the Holy Spirit who assures us of God's gracious presence with us. We grieve with hope. Catherine just read earlier from Psalm 126. Which was likely written with the return of the people from exile. We see God's people coming back to Jerusalem after being physically in captivity and spiritually in sin. They listened, repented, and came to their senses, and God restored them according to his promises. And their reactions were, they were praising him with the gift of laughter. The Israelites were so filled with delight that they were no longer captives, but free citizens taken back to their homeland. They laughed out loud with joy. It would be hard to laugh and sing at the same time. I don't know if anybody's tried that. But verse 2 puts it together. It says, "And their mouth is filled with laughter, and their tongues with songs of joy. Their laughter was a part of their praise to God. So laughter is another aspect of the physiology of praise. For it's a bodily function whereby the heart and mind manifest their feelings and thoughts. It says in that psalm, even the nations around Israel were impressed with their laughter and joy. They had to confess that the Lord had done great things for them. Wow, what a witness to those who don't know God, that they could see what God had done for them. When we humble ourselves and repent of our sins and return to God, do you see what happens? God restores to us joy, and laughter follows on. Our weeping, our wailing, and gnashing of teeth is turned into joy and laughter, peace and hope. The laughter of belief and the laughter of acceptance and the laughter of joy filling your heart when you believe, when you've been set free. What joy can fill your heart? This is the good news that only Jesus Christ can bring. He's the only one that can give you these things, which are eternal. Martin Luther said, "The gospel is nothing else than laughter and joy." I want to just tell you about the different types of laughter, just from the story of Abraham and Sarah in Genesis 18. If we remember the story, Abraham and Sarah had no children and were well into their old age. But they had a supernatural encounter with God, a divine visitation, during which they received a prophecy that Sarah would become pregnant and give birth to a child. Here we learn about the laughter of doubt and unbelief, and the laughter of anticipation, wonder, and awe of God. Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return about this time next year, and Sarah will have a son. When Sarah received the prophecy, she knew that women of her age never had children. So she laughed to herself in disbelief and doubt. I love Sarah's response. Makes me chuckle. It says that Sarah laughed to herself, saying, "Am I worn out? Am I Lord as old? Shall I have pleasure?" I love that response. I think it's brilliant. She didn't believe this could happen in the natural. However, Sarah laughed in unbelief. And many people who don't know Jesus walk like this. Many hear the gospel and their response is, "What a joke." It's hard for people to believe that they can be set free from all their sins and guilt by trusting in Jesus Christ and believing that his death paid the judgment they deserve. It's like a dream to hear you can be liberated from bondage to all the sins that keep you captive. Can I have an amen? Yay. We can be set free. For many, the fact that God possibly can love them seems ridiculously impossible. They doubt that God can love them because of what they've done. But that's a lie, isn't it? That they're hearing. Because the truth is, God loves everyone. Doesn't matter what about your past or your present. And there are those who know, and it's true, and still reject and scoff at God. The Bible tells us to be careful in our laughter, because if we laugh and scoff at things that are divine, things that are sure and steadfast, is God who is going to have the last laugh. Today we have people that laugh at Jesus. They laugh at Christianity. They laugh at the virgin birth and the crucifixion of Jesus, and even more, the resurrection. They make fun of the Bible, saying it's all made up. However, in Psalm 2, verse 4, it says, "The one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them." It is the Lord who will have the final word over people who have known and continually rejected his love, his son, Jesus Christ, his grace, his mercy. God responded by asking Abraham about Sarah's laughter. And when Sarah explained that she had laughed because she was afraid, God forced her to confront the truth of her actions. Yet he did not punish her or retract his promise, that promise held that you'll have a son. If God had told me in my teens that when I get to being in my 50s, that I would be speaking in the church services, I probably would have laughed, probably more in shock and horror. I was really shy, and to stand in front of people would have been a nightmare for me. And I was having elocution lessons because I had problems with my speech. I'd still get that sometimes, mind. But here I am, and I believe with God all things are possible. Anyway, back to the story. The first laugh occurs. Sarah is 89. Can you imagine that, ladies? Being 89 and pregnant. I think I would be in shock like Sarah. And I think Simon would be even more in a shock. And it says Abraham is 99. It just blows your mind, doesn't it, that? But God appears to Abraham and gives him this message. In Genesis 17, we read, "As for Sarai, thy wife, I will bless her and give thee a son also of her." So how does Abraham respond? Well, he also laughs. And I'm sure you would as well, wouldn't you? He laughs. But it says that Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, "Shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old?" What kind of laugh was this? Was it shock and unbelief? Or the surprise of joy and amazement? In Romans 4:19-20, it says these words, "Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but he was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God." Wonderful verses. Therefore, we can conclude that Abraham laughed in wonder and anticipation. He received the word of God, and it became for him like a well spring of joy, bubbling over into this amazing laughter. Abraham laughed in wonder at the promise that God made to him. Therefore, we can rejoice, have joy, have laugh and share what the Lord has done and is doing in our lives. Like in Psalm 126, where we just read, where they had to confess that the Lord has done great things for them. Are we able to share with others too of what the Lord has and is doing for us? Even today, we hear of a man or woman giving their lives to Christ. This is good news. This is joyful. This is where there's rejoicing in heaven over one sinner confessing that they believe in Jesus. They're rejoicing, they're having a party. We got joy to give people. We got good news to give people. We also read about the third laughter. And it comes after Isaac is born. In Sarah's great happiness, she said, God have made me to laugh so that all that hear will laugh at me. Her initial laughter, the laughter of unbelief, has now been replaced with the laughter of joy. And so finally, when Isaac is born, they both laugh in joy. They celebrate and mark the significant moment by naming their son after their response. For Isaac means laughter or to laugh. Isn't that amazing? We too can laugh when the fullness of God's impossible promises finally come true. In the repentant sinner coming home. Yes. In the sick person being healed. Yes. In the shame being restored. Yes. In the lost becoming found. In the dead rising to new life. Through faith in Jesus, all the fullness of heaven, heaven's promises to us are made real. The full life, the abundant life, now and eternally is given freely to us because of his love for us. What impossible promises has God made to you? Have you received them? Have you heard them? I think the Lord wants to speak some impossible promises into our lives. Promises that make you laugh in one way or another. I believe the Lord also wants to fill your life with his joy. For some of us, what should be a river of joy might be more like a trickling stream. Maybe a river that is completely dried up. You've just lost that joy. However, a dry riverbed is also evidence of where the river runs. What has run there before can also run again. Let's just take a moment and ask the Lord to send the rain. Let's ask the Lord to speak his impossible promises. Let's ask the Lord to fill our lives and this place with joy and holy laughter. I'm just going to ask Belinda, would you just play something on the piano for us? Let's just take a moment. Just ask the Lord. Just invite the Holy Spirit to come. He wants to speak to you tonight. He wants to fill you up. Even if you're at home, the Holy Spirit wants to comfort you. He wants to take you out of grief and sorrow and pain. And he wants to fill you with his joy and his laughter again and dancing. Holy Spirit, will you come and bring healing to our emotions, to our physical needs? Holy Spirit, will you help us, be our helper when we need help? Would you give us words to speak of hope and love? Help us to tell people the good news of Jesus. He's the one that takes our pain and our sorrow, our guilt and shame. And when he takes that offer, see, he replaces it with that joy, with that laughter, with a peace and hope and strength. Come and have your way, Holy Spirit, tonight. Fill this place again with your laughter, as deep calls out to deep. And you may be in that place where it's been a long time since you've laughed. But a time has come in where your joy will return. It says that the joy will return in the morning. Ask for it. It's a gift the Lord wants to depart into us. Restore to us the joy of our salvation. Give us a boldness and courage. Help us to be excited again and passionate for Jesus. So, Father, thank you for this time. We thank you for this gift of laughter and joy that you give us so freely. Help us to receive it tonight. Holy Spirit, come fill our hearts again with a sound again, a sound of laughter and of joy. Holy Spirit, bring your healing where sorrow and grief and sadness has taken over. Let it be a time today to exchange our mourning into dancing and our weeping for laughter. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Holy Spirit, help us to share good news to others about how much Jesus loves them, and they can know this joy too. Holy Spirit, we ask that you turn our laughter of doubt and unbelief into a laughter of wonder, of awe and anticipation. Let faith arise. Let joy and laughter be heard in our lives again, in our town, for your glory, Lord. That all will see what the Lord has done and is doing, as we are filled with joy. In Jesus' name, amen.